Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is recorded in the Gospel of John, a portion of our Gospel lesson for today, chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So far the text. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Increase our faith through them, we pray. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, to whom the Helper, the Counselor, the Paraclete, the Spirit of Truth comes. Last Sunday here at St. Timothy, we celebrated it as Ascension Sunday. And as we did so, we heard the words of St. Luke as he quoted Jesus. And Luke, in that account of the ascension, records Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit. But then he goes on, and Luke records more about what Jesus would do after his ascension, more about what he would continue to do in this world even now, than Luke recorded about Jesus' departure. Jesus' visible local presence, in the sense that you could think of him as at one place at a time, was exchanged for an invisible omnipresence by which he continues to work powerfully in every age and in every place, including here and now and wherever his word and sacraments are found. So also in our text for today, Jesus has said that he's telling them something special, something they need to know so that they will not fall away. And what he says is that he would reveal how he would be active, what he would do beyond his death, which was yet to come, because this is written, the night before he was betrayed. He tells him what he would do beyond his death, beyond his resurrection, and beyond his ascension. How he would work in every age of the world, including our own. And how does he do it? He says that in this time between his ascension and his coming again at the last and great and final day of the Lord, that the Holy Spirit and the apostles will bear witness about him. Now that seems kind of anticlimactic, doesn't it? Okay, the apostles, the Spirit, they're going to talk about Jesus. Okay, big deal, we're inclined to say. But it's by the witness of the Holy Spirit and the apostles that the church has been created and has endured, has gone from a little grain of mustard seed to be a great tree in which the birds of the air, so to speak, find shelter, in which sinners find peace, comfort, forgiveness, and life. We who were born spiritually dead have been given spiritual life and faith. How? Through words about Jesus, by the witness of the Holy Spirit, by the witness of the apostles. It's by that witness that we've been called together as a Christian congregation. It's by that witness that all believers through all ages and throughout the world have been called together to become the church of God. We can't see the Holy Spirit as he works, but we can see the effect of his witness in spiritual life and faith. As Jesus says in John chapter 3, the wind blows where it wishes. And you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The reality of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is made known through the words and witness of the apostles and the Holy Spirit. As Jesus says, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Now, that word witness, why just witness? What effect does witnessing have upon us? It's an interesting word. It comes from the Greek into the English also as the word martyr, talking about those who died to confess their faith, or as they confessed their faith. Really, as they witnessed to the truth. But here it's translated witness because that's the basic meaning of the word, conveyed as one who relates what he knows. To bear witness isn't persuasion. It isn't manipulation. It isn't oratory. It isn't drama. It's simply passing on what we know to be true. And in some measure, let's say that I were to tell you about someone. No editorializing, as in, hey, I want you to meet this really great guy I know, or there's this fantastic young lady that I'd like to introduce. And no, it's just tell you the facts. What happens is you would get to know this person also, wouldn't you? So by the witness of the Holy Spirit, we come to know Christ. Not just about him, but we come to know him. And as Paul says, I consider everything rubbish compared to the surpassing joy of knowing Jesus Christ, my Savior. So it is, Jesus says, that his work would be carried on, his power would be exercised in this world through the witness of the Holy Spirit and the apostles. But unfortunately, people tend to look for something else. You know, they look at the events that we got from the passage in Acts there, where the people were speaking in tongues, and what Joel talked about, where there was this incredible testimony to the truth of what the apostles were saying, that they performed miracles. That people who received the gift of the Holy Spirit spoke in tongues. And people say, give me some of that. Now that's something I can get enthusiastic about. And so they expect that the work of the Holy Spirit will always involve some sort of experience. They call it a spiritual experience, but really it ends up being an emotional experience, and they confuse a physiological reaction with the work of the Holy Spirit. Luther once talked about such people as acting like they'd swallowed the Holy Ghost feathers and all, referring to the Holy Ghost appearing as a dove. But the fact is, we can gin up enthusiastic emotional experience. Any religion, true or false, can gather around an emotional experience. Someone did a study on Adele, the pop singer, and just what she does to create an emotional experience in her music. And I bet every one of you can predict the sobbing moments in the movie, you know, when old Yeller dies. And it's sad. Yeah, motivational speakers, they can motivate. And they can stir people up to action. And when you think about that, that makes merely witnessing seem pretty lame. Take witnessing like we see in the Apostles' Creed as an example, in a very early form of witness in the early church. And of course it got its name because the Apostles' Creed contains and bears the witness of the apostles themselves. We get to know Jesus as true God together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Then there's this stuff about his being born of a virgin and dying on the cross and rising again. And then that other stuff about the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. It's not set to music. It doesn't make our skin tingle necessarily. It's witness. It's the good news. It's the good news about what God has done to save us from eternal darkness and despair. And this gospel, we're told, because it is the witness of the Holy Spirit and the witness of the apostles sent by Christ himself with all power in heaven and earth given to him. This witness isn't just information. But according to Romans 1:16, it's the power of God unto salvation. Now, it's too bad that this witness does not always win people's approval. He doesn't win the approval of the people for whom he suffered and died and rose again. And boy, there's an irony there, isn't there? People often tell me, after hearing the witness of who Christ is and what he's done for them, that really, that's not exactly what I've been looking for. You know, I've been looking for something a little bit different. You know, we talk about the forgiveness of sins. We talk about the fact that God washes our sins away through holy baptism. We talk about how the gospel converts the heart and turns us from death to life. Yeah, but, you know, that's not really what I was looking for, people say. And so they follow the medium that plays to the felt needs of people who don't know what they need. For what we need is the Savior who is the subject of this witness of the Holy Spirit and of the apostles. Because our salvation does not depend upon a feeling here, but upon a Savior there. But the fact that the witness of the Holy Spirit comes in words, and in the word and water of baptism, and in the word and bread and body and wine and blood of the Holy Supper, means that this spiritual power is conveyed by something pretty mundane and pretty earthly. Two things are bound together by Jesus here: spiritual power and a mundane and earthly witness. Words, written words, sung words, spoken words, but nevertheless, divine power. As Paul had to explain to the Corinthians. Now, those were a bunch of people who really went in for glossolalia. That was a group of people that could really sink their teeth into tongue speaking and spectacle and something happening. And he had to explain to them, "For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." Paul had to explain it wasn't because of his rip-snorting preaching. It wasn't because of his ability to play upon their emotions. It wasn't because of his power and wealth and position in society. It's their words. Words of the Spirit and of the apostles. And you know, that's really a good thing for us. Because if the power of the gospel, the power of God to save in this age of the world, between the ascension and the time when our Lord comes again, if it were all dependent on the ability to inspire and generate a particular emotion, oh my goodness, where would we be? Especially on our bad days. Now, there are times we cannot help but respond with joy to the message of the gospel. I've been excited for weeks about the choir coming. And one of our members said, do you think if we stood in the middle of the aisle while they were singing, we would just levitate? Okay, yeah, so these mundane earthly things do touch our hearts in ways that we long remember. But the choir isn't always going to be here. The witness of the Spirit is wherever His word is. On those days when people tell me, Pastor, I just don't feel the presence of God, the good news is that His being here depends upon His promise, not the way you feel about it. Everybody that I've been with who was on their deathbed was sick and dying and felt horrible. What if spiritual life and salvation depended upon consciousness? And not only consciousness, but that you have to feel the right way besides. What a despair that would bring. Even people who don't suffer from depression have days in which they're blue, which they don't feel like they're the object of God's love, and yet they are, as I can assure you by the witness of the Holy Spirit of God and His apostles. The apostles were witnesses. They tell us what they saw. And what they saw was the love of God played out in time and place. Their witness is good news for you. Your guilt, not just guilt feelings, your guilt has been taken away. You're purchased at the price of God's Son. You're precious. Your Savior didn't come to you in some spiritual ecstasy that you felt. Your spirit came to you in His childbirth, in His daily life, in His blood and suffering and death and burial. And finally, by going the way that you will too, in His resurrection. These means of grace, words written on a page, water, bread, wine, they're very physical, for very physical people, looking forward to a very physical resurrection. With mundane things and earthly things like this witness to physical realities, God brings forth spiritual life. Notice the way John writes about this in chapter 1 of his first epistle. Notice how he talks about physical, mundane realities and where they bring us. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life that was manifested and that we have seen and bear witness to you and declare to you that the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Through this seemingly humble witness of the Spirit and of the apostles, the ascended Christ is with us, and we with Him. He abides with us, and we with Him. He awakens spiritual life and faith in us and preserves us in it, not because we have the right feelings today, but because He is the Savior. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.